In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 through 32, the Apostle Paul speaks to the issue of the Lord's Supper. And he says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about a lot of things, problems that they were having in the church there. And one of the problems they had was division. They were divided amongst themselves. In the beginning of the epistle, we read some were saying, "I'm of Paul," and others were saying, "Well, I'm of Apollos," and then some were saying, "Well, I'm of Peter or Cephas," and then others were saying, "Well, I'm of Christ." And they divided among themselves. And this division also affected how they partook the Lord's Supper. In fact, in the context of what Paul is writing here, he begins in verse 17 in talking to them about the fact that they are divided in partaking the Lord's Supper. And some of them were hungry, and others were sated, and some were divided over on one side, and others were on the other side. And they were not looking after one another. They were only looking after themselves as they partook of the Lord's Supper. And so, in essence, what they had done was they had reduced the Lord's Supper to a common meal. And so each one took care of himself when they ate that common meal and didn't think about the others, didn't worry about the others. In that day and time, probably what they did was they each brought the elements for the Lord's Supper themselves for their own family group. Okay? Today, the church buys the elements, and then we just store them here at the building, and then we prepare them and present them. But they didn't have stores that they could go to buy, you know, little boxes of communion wafers, or they didn't have, you know, where they could buy jugs of Welch's grape juice there. They had to have that themselves at their own home, at their own house. And so, to partake the Lord's Supper, they had to bring that from their home themselves. And more than likely, each family brought enough for themselves. But what the Lord's Supper is about is not just for our own families, but for everyone who's involved in the church. And so, while there were some families who were wealthy, they could bring plenty for themselves, and other families who were poor maybe couldn't bring as much, if anything, at all. But the point of the Lord's Supper was for them to share amongst themselves with one another. And in doing that, to engage in communion. And by not sharing and not engaging in communion, they basically reduce the importance of the Lord's Supper to just being about me and nothing else. Of course, that's completely contradictory to what the Lord's Supper is about. Because it's about remembering Jesus and his selfless sacrifice on the cross so that others could be forgiven of their sins. So if they're just partaking the Lord's Supper and thinking about self and not thinking about anyone else, they have forgotten the most basic meaning of it, which is to remember the selfless sacrifice of Christ. Well, when we partake of the Lord's Supper today, maybe we don't have quite the same challenges that they had, but we do have other challenges that face us. Sometimes we don't quite regard the importance of the Lord's Supper as we should. And so this morning, I would like to think about the importance of communion to the child of God. Why is communion or the Lord's Supper important? And I want to note three reasons for that. First of all, it is a declaration of faith in Christ. And Christ is certainly important. Secondly, it is a demonstration of fellowship with one another. And our brethren are important. And then finally, it is a deliberation of my forgiveness and the forgiveness of others. And God certainly thought that we were important enough to be forgiven of our sins. And so let's think about the importance of communion to the child of God. First of all, it is important because it is a declaration of faith in Christ. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, the Bible says, and Paul says here, that we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The bread is the body of Jesus. The fruit of the vine is the blood of Jesus. And when we partake of those emblems, we're supposed to be thinking about Jesus and who He is and who He was and what He did on the cross. And so as we think about the body, when we partake of the bread, we think about the blood, when we partake of the fruit of the vine, we recognize that this is the body that God gave Jesus to be sacrificed on that cross. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, Jesus, in quoting the Old Testament scripture, said that God had prepared a body for Him, that offerings and sacrifices, that is of bulls and goats, God didn't want. And so He prepared a body for Jesus so that Jesus could do the will of God within His body. And you see, His life was a sacrifice as much as His death on the cross was a sacrifice as well. And so when we think about the body of Jesus, we think about His life and how He lived that life, and we think about Him going to the cross as well and sacrificing His life for us. The fruit of the vine represents the blood of Jesus. And so as we see, Paul says here, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, quoting Jesus' statement, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The blood of the new covenant was shed so that we might have forgiveness of sins, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28. And so these things go together. And so when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the death of the Lord. But we also memorialize Jesus and His sacrifice. Paul says twice, this do in remembrance of me, verse 24 and verse 25. We remember Jesus. We remember that He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. We remember that He left heaven and He came to earth to live as a man, Philippians chapter 2. And verses 5 and following, that He humbled Himself. He became obedient unto death. Yes, even the death of the cross. We remember that we are to live for Him today because of the sacrifice that He made for us. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15 says, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. We also remember the love of God and the love of Christ when we partake of the Lord's Supper. A tremendous amount of love for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, John 15 and verse 13. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3 and verse 16. And so, communion, or the Lord's Supper, is important because Jesus is important. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, it is a declaration of our faith in Christ. I am saying that I believe that Jesus died on the cross, that He shed His blood there, so that we could have forgiveness of sins, and that salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. We believe in Jesus. And that's why, first of all, communion is important. But then secondly, partaking of the Lord's Supper is important because it is a demonstration of our fellowship with one another. We take of the communion together to show our fellowship with one another. That is, that when I'm partaking of the bread, you're partaking of the bread. And others are partaking of the bread. When I'm partaking of the fruit of the vine, you're partaking of the fruit of the vine. Others are partaking of the fruit of the vine. We're all doing it together as one body. And then not only that, but Christians throughout the whole world are partaking of the Lord's Supper together. And they are all doing it in unanimity with one another, in unity with one another, to remember the same thing. We're all thinking about the same thoughts on that same day, the Lord's Day. And so we can see the great unity that this presents and that this makes within the Lord's body, in the church, if we are thinking about those things, and we should be thinking about those things. But I am in essence saying that I am in fellowship with you and you are in fellowship with me, and we are all striving to get along, to love one another, to be united with one another. When Paul talks to the church at Corinth in verses 17 through 22 here of chapter 11, he says, when you come together as a church, this is verse 18, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. And so he says in verse 20, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In other words, what you're doing is not partaking of the Lord's Supper. You're not eating the Lord's Supper because you have lost the fact that you're supposed to be united with one another and that you're supposed to be in fellowship with one another when you do this. And that means that we're looking out for each other, that we're taking care of one another, and that we're helping one another. Notice what he says in verse 21. In eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the others. One is hungry and another is drunk. And then he says, don't you have houses that you can eat your common meals in? And so the Lord's Supper is not about eating a common meal. It's about sharing with one another and sharing our fellowship with one another and having unity with one another. And so that's why he says in verses 27 through 34, that whoever eats or drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. You see, they were guilty of dividing Christ, in essence, when they were partaking of their quote-unquote Lord's Supper, which Paul said wasn't really the Lord's Supper, but they were in division with one another, and so they would be judged for that. But we must be united when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We must be in fellowship with one another when we do this. Why? Because Jesus shed his blood, died on that cross, and gave himself so that we could be one. So that we could be one body, his people, together with one another. And that's why we don't partake of the Lord's Supper outside of the assembly, per se. We partake of it together amongst one another, as an assembled group, so that we can have fellowship with one another. And so, it's a demonstration of fellowship. The taking of the bread and the fruit of the vine means that we are communing. We're communing with Christ by taking the bread, His body, and taking the fruit of the vine, His blood, and making it part of us, and declaring that Christ lives in us when we do that. We are communing with one another as well. Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 in verses 16 and 17. In fact, he uses the Lord's Supper as a detriment to committing fornication. He says this, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? In other words, if you're out there committing fornication and you're saying that you're communing with the body of Christ or the blood of Christ, you're not really in communion. You can't do those two things at the same time, is what Paul is getting at here. And so we're supposed to be in communion with Christ, not in communion with the world or with harlots, as he says. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now listen to what he says here in verse 17. For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. You see, the Lord's Supper unites us together and shows that we're one body and that we are all members of that body, which is Christ's. And so we take communion to show our fellowship with one another. But we also take communion to remind us of the value of our fellow Christian. That is, in thinking about demonstrating our fellowship, we look at one another and we see each other's value. The same blood that was shed for me was shed for you. The same body that was offered on the cross for me was offered on the cross for you. And this is the value that I place upon myself and upon my fellow Christian. The value of Christ's life and the value of Christ's blood. By taking the bread and the fruit of the vine, we are declaring one another's worth. We value one another as God values us. And you see, this is independent of all social structures. It's independent of what we may have in a physical sense or who we may be. Because when we all come together in the Lord's Supper, we're all partaking of the same thing. We're all doing the same thing together. That's what Corinth was not doing. They were keeping their social structures intact when they were partaking of the Lord's Supper, and that's why they were doing it wrong. But we are devaluing those things that the world values and valuing what God values. In other words, it doesn't matter how much money I make. It doesn't matter how little money I make. It doesn't matter what kind of clothes that I wear. It doesn't matter what kind of job that I may have, or what kind of status I have in society, or what the color of my skin may be, or whether or not, you know, as Paul says, whether I'm a Jew or a Greek or a barbarian or a Scythian or a Roman or a freeman or a slave, none of those things matter in Christ, because we all come together to partake of the same body and of the same blood. And if we are setting those social values above Christ, then we've got bigger problems, and we've got division among us, and we need to do something about that. And so we recognize that we're all redeemed with that same blood. You are not redeemed, Peter says, with earthly things, silver and gold from your vain conversation or vain manner of living handed down by tradition by your fathers. That's not what you were redeemed with. That's not what the Lord's Supper is about, but rather what were we redeemed with? The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. You see, that's the importance here. That's what we're supposed to be focusing on. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20 says, "For you are bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And ultimately, that's who we all belong to, God. And we're supposed to recognize that when we partake of the Lord's Supper. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're also making a commitment to our fellow Christian. It's important because we're making a commitment to our fellow Christian. I'm committed to helping you with your needs. You are committing to helping me with my needs. And whatever it is that is needful, and again, this is what the church at Corinth was not doing. They weren't looking after one another's needs. They were just being selfish and tending toward their own needs. And so this is why it's important. We look to each other's needs and we try to see, well, what does my brother or sister in Christ need? And how can I supply that need? Remember what John said in 1 John 3 and verse 17? "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" In other words, it doesn't abide in him, because he is not tending to his brother's needs. I'm committed to helping you with your needs. But more importantly, I'm committed to helping you go to heaven. And that's what the Lord's Supper declares as well. That we are fellow Christians and that we're here to help one another with our spiritual needs. And to encourage one another to do what is right within our lives. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you're also doing. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. And so communion is important because other people are important, and particularly our fellow Christians are important. And so the communion is important because it is a demonstration of fellowship with one another. But then finally, communion is important because it is a deliberation of the forgiveness of our sins. We remember that Jesus died so that we could be forgiven of our sins. The gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And he says in verse 3 that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And so we remember that he did that. In Matthew 26 and verse 28, Jesus says, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." So when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're supposed to be thinking about the forgiveness of our sins. Now, the Lord's Supper is not a sacrament, as the Catholic Church and some other denominations teach that it is. We don't get forgiveness of sins by partaking of the Lord's Supper. It's not a work of merit whereby if we partake of the Lord's Supper, we get the forgiveness of sins, as if that were an equation of some sort. No, that's not what it is, okay? That's a salvation by works. We are not saved by works. We're saved by grace, all right? But when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we certainly reflect upon the forgiveness of our sins that God has accomplished on the cross in the death of Christ. Now, that happened almost 2,000 years ago. It doesn't happen today when we partake of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is not a re-sacrificing of Jesus, as some people teach it and as some people think. That's not what it is. It's a memorial. It's a remembrance. It's something that we think about and we do in response to the command of God to do so that we remember Jesus and that we have fellowship with one another and that we reflect upon the forgiveness of our sins. So we deliberate on our forgiveness. The blood was shed so that we might be forgiven. And in Luke 24 and verse 47, Jesus says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. But look, the Lord's Supper doesn't sacrifice Christ over and over again each week. That sacrifice occurred once for all time. In Hebrews 9 and verse 12, the writer says, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." You see, He did that once. It was only necessary for Him to do it once, and He didn't need to do it multiple times. And Jesus did that once for all people and for all times, both the past and the present and the future. So when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we remember, we deliberate on the forgiveness of our sins. And when we do that, we recognize that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. And so we remember that Jesus did this so that we could be forgiven. And then this forgiveness happens through our faith in Him. And so it is our faith, you see, that God wants us to have within our life. It's the belief that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Then we partake of the Lord's Supper, we remember that fact, and we believe it, and we testify to it as we are partaking of the Lord's Supper. In Acts 10 and verse 43, Peter said, "To Him all the prophets witness that through His name, whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sins." And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said there, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." You see, this is faith working in our life. We believe, we repent of our sins, we confess Jesus, and we're baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and we then live faithfully, and in living faithfully, we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we reflect on the fact that Jesus forgave us of our sins when we accepted that forgiveness through baptism. And so as we think about the Lord's Supper, we should be thinking about our faith in Him. and living for Him each and every day. And so we recognize that if we've been forgiven by the blood of Christ, we must forgive others also. And that's also enacting faith within our life. We forgive others also. If the standard of my forgiveness is the blood of Jesus Christ, and I accept that standard for forgiveness for my sins, then I've got to accept the same standard for the forgiveness of other people's sins. You see, that's just, and that's fair, and that's right. Using the same standard of forgiveness for everyone. And that's what God does. He uses the standard of Jesus' death on the cross and the blood that He shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And so that's why Jesus says, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father is not going to forgive you your trespasses. Matthew 6 and verses 14 and 15. And He says this, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Luke 17, verses 3 and 4. And so when we recognize that we have been forgiven of our sins, we forgive others also of their sins. And this brings us closer and closer together in communion with one another. Because we all share in the same struggles. We all share in the same problems. We all share in the same desire to be forgiven of those sins that we have committed. And so we all commit to the same standard of forgiveness, and we all declare that commitment when we partake of the Lord's Supper. And so the Lord's Supper is important because it is a deliberation of the forgiveness of our sins. I hope that this morning you will understand the importance of partaking of the Lord's Supper. You know, not just once a month or once a year or something like that, but every single week. They came together upon the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And that's what we do here. And that distinguishes us from many of the religions around us in the world today who don't see fit the need to remember Christ's death every week by partaking of the Lord's Supper. And so they dishonor Christ by doing that. But we want to honor Him within our life, and we want to recognize the importance of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is important because Christ is important. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are declaring our faith in Christ. The Lord's Supper is important because our fellow Christian is important. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're demonstrating fellowship with our fellow Christian. And the Lord's Supper is important because you as an individual are important, and I am important to God, important enough for Him to send His Son Jesus to die on the cross and shed His blood there so that I could be forgiven of sins. And so it is a deliberation of forgiveness. Yes, each one of us is important in the sight of God, and He wants us to remember that by remembering what the standard of that is each week when we partake of the Lord's Supper. You are important, and God wants you to be saved, and He wants you to be forgiven of sins. And in order to accept that forgiveness, as we mentioned, we've got to hear His Word and believe it, repent of the sins that are separating us from God, confess Jesus as our Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, as the Bible says. And so we invite you to do that very thing this morning if you're not a Christian. If you need the prayers of the church, and you need to talk about the Lord's Supper, perhaps, and the meaning of it in your life, and some things that we've talked about this morning. Maybe you need prayers to help you, to encourage you to be faithful and to be in fellowship with the church here and to love one another more. And that's on your heart and your mind this morning. Then this is an opportunity for you to ask for prayers in that regard. And whatever your need may be, we invite you to come forward while we stand and sing.